Unveiled with Neva Nessa, a Go Loud original podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Unveiled. This is a Go Loud original podcast, and we are very excited to be back in your ears because we have a lovely guest. So here you are, here is Moira Rath. I hope you enjoy. We have a very, very special guest here with us today. And I'm sorry to say this, but you kind of wear my COVID buddy.
Yeah.
We used to do, if anyone who followed me on Instagram in around
that was
the
a very
COVID,
high-pitched. Yeah.
Yeah. Whoever followed me on Instagram, I used to do joint lives with this lovely lady. And we have, you know, nearly hired apprentice-y. Is that the right word to say? No?
Fired apprentice person.
Yeah, nearly hired is so positive, isn't it?
Yeah. Nearly hired apprentice by Lord Sugar, and also probably the Irish queen of yoga. Like, let's be honest, you really are.
Thank you, thank you. I don't know about queen, but thank you. You're very kind.
You're very, very welcome, Moira. So for people who don't know who you are, would you give us a little intro of who you are and what you're all about?
Yeah. So I'm Moira, Moira Rat, Yoga with Moira, very original name. I am a yoga teacher. I am an entrepreneur. I am a businesswoman. I'm getting used to saying that because that's what I'm doing. I love yoga. I love to spread yoga. And I feel like I am a woman that is not your typical yogi. I'm not like massively flexible. I am definitely into all of the spiritual side, all of the magic, and I'm just about spreading it.
Love. You are. Yeah. Really and truly.
Yeah, that's what I'm about. And recently did a mad thing by going on The Apprentice. Everyone was like, what the hell have you done, Moira? Why? Don't know why, really. I'm a bit random. I'm passionate.
That's great.
And I sure give anything a go.
Yeah, exactly. Well, before we get into The Apprentice side of things, I really can't wait to get into that with you. I want to know, how did you start getting into yoga?
So I don't know if this is like so cheesy, but I'm going to give you all the cheese. It's like maybe yoga found me. No, I'm not sure. So I lived in New Zealand. I went traveling when I was 2011 with an ex-boyfriend. And I was like, right, I'm going to go. I went to New Zealand. When I was in Ireland, I wasn't really doing much movement. I don't know if a lot of people were doing movement then. Like I was kind of in...
When I remember going to Australia when I was 20 and I came back doing more movement. Like it was like...
Everyone's outside. Everyone's running. Yeah. So I got into running out there and I was like, this is great. This is great. Mm-hmm. And then I was obviously getting really tight from running. And then someone was like, oh, why don't you give yoga a go? And literally there's yoga studios in every corner over there. And I was like, grand. The first one I gave a go was Bikram.
Oh.
Which was like 40 degrees. Went in, had the most horrific experience.
Naturally.
I think I puked after. And I was like, I want a bit more of that.
Yeah. I love it.
Weirdly. I was like, in my head, I was like, oh my God, this is going to sweat. To be completely honest, all of the fat off me. This is the dream. I feel a little bit good after it. Not really sure what it's about. I'm going to give it a go. Mm-hmm. So got into it. And back then I was very much running to be slim.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of the whole focus. And then I was working a real stressful job. And then I kept going to yoga classes. And I was like finding different classes. Got away from Bikram. Wasn't really me. And then fast forward a good few years, I found this teacher. And this lovely teacher, Lizzie, who I actually went to last year when I was visiting New Zealand, she was like the teacher that changed it for me.
Really?
Yeah. And I think that's kind of a lot to do with it. She kind of made yoga like more accessible. And there's a lovely word that you use a lot, Niamh, woo-woo.
Yeah, I love the woo-woo.
And I don't really like the word woo-woo.
I love it.
We live and die by the woo-woo.
It's so funny you say it a lot. And like people say woo and I'm like, that triggers me a little bit.
Yeah. Oh,
not that you trigger me. Yeah. Because I'm like, sometimes people put yoga in this box of being this kind of whimsical mad thing, and it is. But what I'm about and what my kind of journey was it was just de-stressing me, getting me out of my head, getting me into my body, helping me let go of whatever crap I was going on. It was my escapism. Like my job was a great paycheck, didn't enjoy it though. It was like, get me to my yoga before and after.
And
this is the buzz. And it kind of just got really obsessed from there.
Well, can I ask, so like, how long on your yoga journey before you were able to completely like immerse yourself in it? You know, like saying there you can be fully present and everything, because whenever I've done anything like that, like now my yoga experience would be like the Wii Fit board. Remember when that thing came out? however long ago. Like I've gone to like one or two classes and it's like my head's just like pinging around the place.
Well, do you know what the thing is? I think people say, oh, like you need to kind of like leave your body and you need to empty your thoughts completely. That is impossible.
Yeah.
There is times in my life and in my practice where that does happen, but usually it's like on a yoga retreat or I'm in India and I'm somewhere really spiritual. I've been doing it and nothing else. I think that to answer your question, it just takes practice. Mm-hmm. I believe that, you know what, even in one class, you might even just get that little bit of space for 5 minutes. Don't give up.
Yeah.
You also might not have found your teacher, Nessa.
Yes.
Well, this is where I want to step in and say, you're the only teacher that I actually enjoy. And I mean that truly.
Aww, me.
Now, sometimes I'll dip into you when I'm in like the height, the stress. I'm like, Maura, sort me out. And then I wish I was more consistent with my yoga. I kind of do it a little bit like with my like meditations. I do it like a stress meditation, stress yoga, where I should be doing it more consistently. And I am trying to do it better. But even in February, I was like kind of like up and I signed up to your flexible February challenge.
Yes.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
I didn't do it enough because I was doing my 30-day challenge at the time, but I did like about 3 of your classes a week. They were 8 a.m., 7 a.m. every morning.
Yeah, yeah.
And they online.
Yeah.
Live online. So I'm live every day. I'm live every day since, well, not every day, I have the weekends off, but since 2020. But you know what? Like with that, the good thing about yoga is you're always welcome back.
Yeah.
And you know what? I just think it complements whatever other practice you're doing. If you're running, if you're moving, like it doesn't have to be yoga for you. Obviously, I'm like, do yoga. It's the healer. It's the cure.
Yeah.
It saves me. It helps me not be as crazy as I am at different times. But actually, it's movement. It's breath.
It is.
It's meditation. It's all connected. And for some people, that's lifting weights.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like blasting your music. That's, I don't know, obsessive cleaning your house. It's switching off. So it doesn't always have to be on a yoga mat. But I mean, you will get the best results if you go on a yoga mat.
Yeah.
And Kamir, do you think people are aware of like the meditation side of yoga enough? I know only with you and another girl, Becca Megan, are the only two people that I
love.
Kind of, isn't she gorgeous?
She's lovely.
The only two people that I can, it's like your voices that I'm familiar with, that I can go into like a meditative state, where with other yogas, like I do me thinking of all sorts.
See, I definitely have a yoga voice. And when I get into the yoga voice, I think it's like a little, at the moment I'm training yoga teachers. I'm like, you need to change your voice for your meditation. But they're from the same family. Meditation comes from yoga, you know, and I just feel like meditation, you know, Niamh, is so powerful. But it comes in many forms. It's like some people kind of almost meditate when they're walking, when they're, you know, doing whatever, when they're in a zone that they're able to switch off for a little bit. And I just say to people that meditation, like, you can't force people to do it either. And I'll talk about it, I'll preach about it, but like, you just find your own way.
So did you discover meditation when you got into yoga, or would you have kind of leaned into the wellness element before your yoga?
Well, meditation, I'll be completely honest, I was like, that's boring. Like, it's not stretching my body. I'm not getting any strength from it. Snore fest, all of the thoughts are coming up in my head. I'm sitting here, I'm itching, there's a fly on my head, whatever. Honestly, I was like, nah, I knew
that's
it was all
refreshing to hear though, do you know?
Yeah, no, honestly, I was like, this is a waste of time. Like, I don't need that. Like, I like a busy mind. This is what I thought. And then I went to India to do my first training, and holy God, we had to do like 2 hours of practice in the morning and then an hour of meditation. And I'll be honest, like, I just remember that first, it was for 200 hours, like 30 days straight. And that first like 14 days, honestly, in my head, I was like, what the fuck is this happening? Like, I was going through my head, I've been like counting in the time. Sometimes I'd like, okay, I'll just count the birds, I'll do something. And I was like, this hour felt like torture.
And it was a pure silence.
Pure silence. And then the guy, Sudhir, incredible teacher, I kind of didn't like him for the first part of the course. And then something happened. And I don't know what it was. This is so funny. He was like to me, if you do meditation every day for 100 days and you still don't like it, I'll give you, he was saying to everyone, I'll give you like $1,000 or something ridiculous. And I was like, anyway, I kept pushing at it. I think it was like day 16 or 17. And I just had this moment where I just felt like I can't, it just sounds so spiritual, that word woo-woo.
I love the woo-woo. So
the woo-woo, yeah. So I had this moment where I was just like, oh my God, there's more to life than just me and to just being in my head. So it was just kind of me not letting my thoughts come in, but not attaching to them.
Wow.
And now I just love it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that was like a pivotal moment for you then, where you just were like, I'm all about this.
Yeah, I'm all about this. But like, I come in and out of it, girls. Like, yeah. I get obsessed, like, at certain times. Like I haven't meditated today. I haven't actually meditated probably in the last week. I've just had a lot going on. And then I get on my mat and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, why aren't you meditating? Now, I do my yoga every day. But it's funny how you can just stop using your toolkit, but you're always welcome to do it again. Like, I know we're going to have a little chat about The Apprentice, but I'll talk about, I lost my practice fully over that time.
Oh, I say that was,
I got crazy, guys. I got really crazy.
Got angry. But here, can you explain, like, you know the way you said your first yoga class was Bikram yoga? How many different styles of classes? Like, what do I do when I do your yoga class?
You do a vinyasa style.
Oh, I do a vinyasa style. Yeah. Okay.
So I'll explain, there's loads of different yogas now.
Is there?
And it's amazing. There's loads of different yogas being born, like every, I don't know, year. There's tons of styles. Mm-hmm. And you'll go to me as a vinyasa teacher and then you'll go to five other teachers and we'll all teach differently.
Mm. Okay.
But I suppose the kind of umbrella yoga is hatha. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then there's different styles like yang, which is like your movement. Okay. So think of your vinyasa, your flows, your Bikram, which is, we don't really talk about Bikram too much anymore. The guy, I don't know if you've seen that really bad documentary about that guy.
I did.
Yeah. We don't talk about Bikram. Yeah. It's just hot yoga now.
I had a weird feeling when you said Bikram yoga. And then I was like, oh my God, that weird documentary with that guy.
Yeah. That really weird documentary. Yeah.
So hot yoga.
So anyway, back to the positive.
So basically, they're the kind of movement flow ones. And then they other side is yin. This is like
yin. That's your yin.
It's magic, or else you're restorative, really slow pace. So ones that can really get your heart going, your sweat going, other ones that can slow right down. There is a practice for everyone, guys.
Yeah.
I really believe there is. And if you haven't found your practice, change teachers.
So I obviously have nothing to offer to the yoga table. Okay. I've never really done it before. So what would be my roadmap? What would you recommend for like somebody who hasn't really done?
Are you into like movement?
Yeah. Yeah, it would be. But I think I'd actually like to do yoga for like calming your mind rather than like an, do you know what I mean? Rather.
Yeah.
I think yin be lovely.
Yin
for,
yin for the win,
I
honestly.
Love yin.
So yin
we should do a yin. We'll do your more yin.
Okay.
Girls, I'll send you the Sunday's yin recording.
Oh,
okay.
Sunday's very good. Yin.
It's very good. Okay. You light a candle.
Oh, I'm in. You have
any?
Sold.
So yin is a floor-based yoga. It's, well, it doesn't always have to be on the floor, but most of the time it's on the floor. It's a Chinese practice, actually. And it's for creating space in your muscles. It's actually one of the best practices for lasting flexibility, relaxation, taking you into that rest and renew, slowing you down. Like, you leave your body and you kind of afterwards get this, you probably know it, Niamh, this yin drunk.
It's like walking on a cloud and you're like ready to, you could just sit there and anything could be happening. You're like, oh,
it's
really?
Dreamy. Yeah. Yeah. I teach it every Sunday for my yogis, but on a Thursday, one of the girls on my little team, lovely Laura, teaches it. So on a Thursday night, after The Apprentice now, put my pajamas on, do my yin, transmit myself from my bed or from my yin to my bed. And I'm going to my husband, don't touch me. Okay. Don't talk to me.
Yeah.
This,
yeah.
And I have the best
sleep.
Oh,
yeah.
Like no other.
Will I do it tonight?
You could. Ness, honestly, when I was, I'm sure you know, everyone knows that I had a really hard couple of years. And one of the things that saved me was on a Thursday evening, I used to go down to one of the local yoga studios and I used to do a yin class. And oh my God. And one of the teachers kind of knew I had, well, she just sensed that I was a bit like
troubled. She could
troubled.
Just feel it off, yeah.
So she'd like focus on me loads and like do loads of stuff. And I'd go home and Jamie was like, you should do this more often. I'd come home literally drunk.
Oh, it's amazing.
Like, amazing.
It can be really emotional as well.
Yeah.
Like, we get a lot of yin criers. And I'm not going to lie, when I
it's get really nice,
it's so nice when I get people crying in my class. I'm like, yes!
I did a good
it's
job.
It's really cleansing and heal. It's like, it's really lovely. We'll do that.
Okay.
Can't wait.
Okay, great.
Love it. You're love do it. Love it. Love it.
Report back.
Yeah.
So, like, can you just explain to us a little bit then how you kind of made the pivot into more like the yoga world kind of more full time and things like that?
Yeah, so it wasn't really, like, to be honest, when I was doing my yoga classes in New Zealand, I was like, this is deadly. Like, look at Lizzie's life. I literally just copied her. I was like, she's a yoga teacher. Like, she's amazing. She does what she loves every day. But I was telling people in Ireland, and because I was living in New Zealand and then I was coming back to Ireland and I was stopping in India on the way, and I was like, I'm just going to do my yoga training and then I'm going to get a real job in Dublin and then teach a class once a week to fill my cup. In my heart, I wanted to be a full-time teacher, but I didn't in my, like, have the courage.
Yeah.
I felt a bit embarrassed saying that, you know?
Yeah, I get it. Like, especially because you're honestly one of the OGs. So that was probably in 2016, 17,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And, like, I think that people just, like, my friends were like, I left Ireland this party girl, like, you know, live for my festivals. I still live for my festivals.
Mm.
But, like, it was living for the weekend. And suddenly I'm like, I'm going to go to a yoga retreat and, like, this is all I want to do.
Yeah.
So I felt like it was a little bit of my, I don't know what that word is, my identity had changed.
Yeah.
And you feel funny about changing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because you're used to being this funny, loud girl. Yeah. And now you're like, I want to do that, but yeah, I also want to be zen.
You think you know who you are and then you're like, oh, I'm actually not that person anymore.
Yeah. So that was a little bit of time. But when I went and did my yoga training, I ended up going for 200 hours is what you do to qualify and to teach in Ireland. And I was out there and my then boyfriend, now my husband, we were doing a bit of travel and I was like, we'll do that at the start. And with the town we were going to was surfing. He loves surfing. So I did my 200 hours and then I was like, can we stay for a little bit longer and do a 300 hours? And then it would mean that we'd be there for like 8 weeks. And he was like, grand, no bother.
Yes.
Like, he's from New Zealand. He's so chill. He was just like, yeah, cool, I'll surf away. So I ended up being there for like 3 months doing yoga every day.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm not going back to my job.
Good.
There we go.
Wow.
Yeah. Here we are today on a podcast.
Amazing. I would say that was the right call for you.
Yeah.
And like, I suppose I met you in 2019. I'll never forget. It was on the Marker rooftop. Do you remember? Wasn't it a Flow State event?
I fangirled, honestly, right?
What?
My niece, my little niece, she's not little, she's 19, Winnie now. She had actually showed me your page.
Aww.
Like, aww, that time. And then literally you were there and I was like, Winnie! She was like, go say hello. And then I think this girl that was there, who's like your sister-in-law now, not a stalker, I promise.
Yeah.
And she took a picture of us.
Oh my God. Yeah. Was it Jill I had with
I think
me?
It was. I
Abby
think it was.
Jill.
And you were lovely and we had a little chat.
No, we had a lovely little chat. I felt like we always connected since then.
Yeah.
I just thought you were so lovely. And then funny enough, then I had put you up on my story and one of my friends, she was like, oh my God, Niamh, she's one of the best yoga teachers. She gives you a head massage at the end of your class. So she'd go around. So I was like, oh, this is lovely. But anyway, fast forward, because I remember we connected from that point and I was
and I really appreciate
girl.
You sharing me on your stories. Honestly, that really helped my little business and helped me grow. So thank
all.
You.
Oh my God, no. I feel like when I have an instant connection with someone, it's always genuine and I'm always like,
I think we're both oversharers.
Yeah, oversharers.
And I'm like, oversharing.
Follow more. She's amazing. But I remember during COVID, I feel like you, from my memory anyway, you really spiked, because tell people what you did, because I just thought it was amazing. You got up every morning at 8 a.m. and taught a class for everyone during COVID. I feel like you probably saved, well, I know you saved me, because after I did my live at 7 with Sean, my trainer, I'd come on and do yours at 8.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what? Like, it's so funny. Like, I remember that lockdown. Remember that time? Like, I remember I was
madness.
Teaching a group of girls in the secondary school and the teacher was like, oh, we're going to close down. And I was like, for what?
With
this COVID thing. And it was like 2 weeks. And then I remember I got home. I had loads of yoga classes planned that weekend. And I was just kind of getting my little business going. And then I was like, feck, they're all cancelled. I'm not going to have any work. I literally got on my mat that day and I did my practice. And then I was like, all will be well. And then I just went onto my Instagram. And I think I had like maybe, I think I had 3,000 followers at the time. And I was like, hey guys, I'm just going to go live on Monday. And then literally the word just spread.
Really?
And then on Monday, I think a couple of hundred people went live with me. And I was just gave out free yoga for 12, 13 weeks every day. And I couldn't stop then.
So it was like COVID was, you were probably one of the people that in a way, I don't know if benefit's the right word, but like it really.
And I feel guilty saying
that.
No,
but you shouldn't, because
I actually did.
A lot of people did a lot of reevaluation during COVID. Like a lot of good came from COVID as well.
More, you did a lot of good for people during COVID. Like, you came on every morning at 8 a.m.
Oh, it kept me saying, girls, kept, yeah, but honestly.
But, like,
I would have been crazy if I wasn't doing it. It kept me going.
Like, and I'm sure to this day, you still have people who came on your live in March 2020.
Honestly, my yogis are so loyal. Honestly, aww. I love them all so
yogi's
much.
Yogi's so cute.
Yeah, like, it's so funny that they've been with me since that first March 2020.
Yeah.
And they're still with me every day in my 7 a.m. Yeah. club. Yeah, yeah. So my online business was born from COVID. So even though I was able to do this thing, I'm so grateful for people that they have come and supported my business from then. So it's all worked out.
It has. And what made you, did you just decide then you were like, because obviously you went from in-person yoga teaching then to online, and now you're kind of mostly online now.
Mostly online.
How was that transition? And did you just take the leap then from just your online community that you're like, right, I'm going to set up an online studio then?
Yeah, yeah. Like, to be honest, we didn't really have a choice at that time. Like, I was like, this is just temporary. Like, we're all stuck indoors. We can't do anything. And like, to be honest, in-person's always going to win. Like, you can't beat the head rubs. Yeah. You can't beat meeting people. You can't beat going for a coffee after, having the crack, the chats. It'll always win in person.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, with my studio is people can't have a daily practice or even a 3-time weekly practice because, number one, it's expensive to go to yoga classes, even though I still think we're worth every penny. and being able to just go roll out your mat for 30 minutes before you get on your bus, before you go to work. And that's why the online studio works. So the online studio will be here forever.
Yeah.
But in person, I do my yoga retreats, I do my events, and like always in person will be there.
Tell me about your retreats. When did you start them and how are they going for you? I'd love to do one of your retreats.
Well, girls, you are welcome on any retreat.
Yeah, talk us through that. Like, when you're picking it, I just find the planning of retreats fascinating. Like, how do you know where to go and all that sort of stuff?
Like, there's like, I'm a big planner and I know you're a big planner as well, Nessa and Eva. And like, I have to say, I suppose when I really fell in love with yoga when I was in New Zealand, I went to a yoga retreat very last minute with a friend and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I'd love to bring this back to Ireland. I don't feel like anyone is doing it.
Yeah.
And then when I was doing my business in 2018, I started and like, honestly, girls, I had to like hire a crowd for my classes. I'd be like to my friends, please come.
Yeah,
so there's not one person in the class.
Yeah.
And then there'd be two. And then I was like to everyone, please come, please come. And then my first ever yoga retreat, I always do that thing where I laugh before I say it, but literally I was like, no one was buying any spots.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, how am I going to do this for 9 months trying to sell it out? That I got like my friends and my cousins all to come.
Yeah.
And I was like, guys, just come, please. I had this vision and I'm such a manifester. And I was like, if I can just show people that this works,
totally.
Give, even though they're my friends and family, give them an incredible
taster,
a weekend of it.
Mm.
And a couple of people did book at the end. I think maybe 4 or 5 people booked at the end and the rest were like hire crowd. And I was like, and I'll just put this on my little following and I'll share it. And then like, that's how I did it. And like, it is hustling like for years. Like, it's taken me years to be able to sell them out. And I don't forget the days that I couldn't.
Mm.
And I think, you know, a lot of yoga teachers would contact me like, oh, how do you? I'm like, you can't just be a yoga teacher tomorrow and sell out.
Yeah.
People have to trust you.
Yeah. I totally agree with you.
And but I love
and relate.
Them.
I just feel like you're
I didn't
relatable.
Answer your question at all. Sorry.
No, I was how so appalled at that. I was literally like, yes.
No, I'm really bad at answering questions.
No,
so
you're fine.
Yeah, the venue is everything. Yeah. It has to have the perfect yoga space. So there's so much beautiful hotels around that like I'm looking at. If they don't have a yoga space, there's no point, you know?
Yeah.
So the shala or the yoga space, that's key. The food. Okay. So if you've got a really good yoga space, the food has to be tasty, nourishing, yummy. Like, I'm about real food, girls. People don't just come to my yoga retreats and eat rabbit food. Like, there's a real mix of like healthy food, but tasty food. And when you have the good venue and you have the, like, especially the right space, the beds have to be comfy, like real simple things, but
the
so
whole
important.
Experience needs to, you know, fit.
That's it. And like, when people come, like I had one 2 weeks ago and like when they arrive, you're holding space for them. You're like their mammy for the whole weekend. So I am on from that very first moment. I have to make sure everyone has the most amazing time. They come, they let go, they meet new people. Like, women come on their own all the time. And it's just an amazing experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And come here, do you think there's like a stereotype with being into yoga that like you're a bit of a hippie or a bit of a fairy?
Yeah. I know. You know what? I am anyway.
Yeah, like, I'm a bit of a fairy too.
Yeah. And you know what? It's so funny. Like, I feel like sometimes you can be judged, like being a yoga teacher.
I feel like you're not taken serious.
I think I'm taken more serious now. But like,
you're a businesswoman.
Because I'm a businesswoman.
Like, I'm saying, I'm an entrepreneur. In general, you know what I mean? Is there a stereotype, you know, that people can be just blanket judged? Is like airy fairy woo woo, you know?
Yeah, like, I mean, a load of yoga teachers don't have a personality like me. Like, they are definitely more grounded, you know, not as probably whimsical as I am. I think it's moving away from that, but sometimes you do think of a yoga teacher as being someone that's wearing like Lululemons, whatever, and they're all like this perfect life. And I even though head to toe Lululemon, I honestly like trying to move away from that and like just know that absolutely anyone can be a yoga teacher. And I think if you bring your personality, that's what people connect with. Yeah. And if you are a fairy and if you are woo woo and if you're up in the clouds, bring that and own it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But also, if you are someone that likes the anatomical side, if you like refocusing on getting people stronger and really on the physical side, not the spiritual side, own that as well. And I think that, you know, maybe I play up on it a little bit sometimes. Like, it's so funny. My brother was like to me there a while ago. He was like, tell us a typical day for Maura. This is like before Christmas, right, for dinner. And I was like, oh yeah, get up, teach like a yoga class or two, walk the dog. And I had a little laugh. And then I was like, And then like later on, I was like, why did I say that? And I was like, Rode, I fucking work 13-hour days.
Yeah.
I'm like trying to hustle. Yeah. I'm trying to get this corporate job. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to plan a retreat.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I did that.
Yeah.
Is that, am I a liar? I don't know.
No, but you probably don't want to come being like, right, well, this is what I did. You know what I mean?
You're bothered.
But yeah, I'd imagine that could happen a lot. Like,
and like, I have five brothers. They've all got businesses. Now, they are very humbling, you know, like, and they kind of tell what it is. And sometimes, like, there's a joke. It's like, Asher Moore, you're only teaching a yoga class. And like, it's funny because that's what I say to them. And that's what they're saying.
Yeah, and it's so much more that you do because you also host these amazing, isn't it? They actually are free, aren't they? The Sunrise.
Sunrise Clubbers.
The Sunrise Clubbers.
I really want to trademark that.
And like, you need to trademark it. And there's like hundreds of people at it.
Yeah.
And you like.
Is this in person?
Yeah.
You know what, Nessa?
Yeah.
I have one up your way.
What?
On Saturday.
This Saturday.
Not that I'm a stalker, but you are in North Dublin, aren't you?
Yes.
Portmarnock.
Yes.
This Saturday. I'm not sure the podcast will be out before this.
No, it won't, but it's fine. At 6:30.
Sunrise is at 6:30 at the moment, but this event is going to be at 7:00.
Do I have to get in the sea more?
Yeah. No, you don't. Okay. No, you don't.
I'm potentially going to...
It's at 7 a.m.
Because I just want to have wholesome vibes.
Oh my God, bring Aidy and one of the girls.
I'm like, I might try rope David in.
Oh yeah, God, I do.
No, I've got a few
men now coming as well. So, oh my God, the other day, or the other week, I had one, this guy, this is like the cutest ever, right? I'd say he was in his 70s. God, I hope he wasn't. I hope he's that age.
Yeah.
I hope
he's that age. He's actually 40.
He's actually like 25. And he came and he had like a blanket. And he said to me after the class, he just seen loads of people in Dunleary walking. And he just decided to come and follow.
Oh, no way.
And then just did the class. And I was like, oh my God, I love you.
That
like,
man is living in the moment.
He literally was out like on his walk in the morning at 6:30.
I said, feck it, I'll go where these are going.
See where they're going.
So cute. It was also super Irish, isn't it? It's like Irish. Follow a crowd.
I follow the crowd.
And like, you know, even the other day, there was a lovely girl, a lovely lady, and she's there with her two daughters. And I could feel her daughters were probably a bit like embarrassed with her mom because her mom was like, I've been wanting to do it for a while. Do you have a spare mat? And I was like, yeah, come on. I could see her daughters going, like they were like, but it's about like, I have girls in their 20s coming, girls in their, I don't know what age, young, and then like so much older men. So it's just about connection. Yeah. Sunrise Clubbers happens once a month. And it's just about getting people together.
Yeah, it's so lovely.
Leave it with me. You've planted a seed.
Yes.
So I would love to know a little bit more about like how you balance the side of being a businesswoman.
Yeah.
Okay, this is going to be bad now. I don't have balance. Honestly, don't have balance. I'll be honest.
I love that though.
Yeah.
Rather than pretending you do.
Yeah. It's so funny. I'm going through this stage, right? I've been going through the stage for a couple of years where I'm like preaching. Relax, do your yoga. This keeps me sane. Now, I do my yoga every day. Me teaching yoga doesn't count as me doing my yoga.
Yeah.
Have to do my own practice every day, or I go to the class or tune into someone online. And that keeps me sane. Mm. But I'm obsessed with my business. It's my baby. It's all I do.
Yeah.
Like everything revolves around it. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And I was trying to do this thing where people are like, oh, you know, separate your work and stuff. And like, for the last while, I'm like, oh yes. And I was like, I don't actually want to separate it because I actually love it. Like doing my sunrise clubber is like, I'd be smiling for like 3 days after that.
I'd say so.
You know, and, and like that being said, like I do know how to chill. I balance, like I love, like I'm obsessed with maths at the moment. Can't stop watching the Australian maths. Oh my gosh. Actually don't start because it just takes up your life. There's so many episodes. So the balance, it comes and goes, but like I definitely do my yoga practice every day, but sometimes I could be, you know, work until all hours.
Say you have a really stressful day, right? Like what's in your toolkit then to like chill out?
Punta, my dog.
Oh, he's gorgeous. Sorry.
I knew, everyone I says that, and I even got her a pink collar.
I know.
I think it's the name.
I actually knew it was a girl. Sorry.
Punta. She's beautiful. Honestly, she's my best friend. And like, even though I do every day I do my yoga and something's going on, everything's happening, I just get outside, get out to the sea. Luckily, I live beside the sea. Get for a walk with her. Just even play with her for 5 minutes. Mm. You can't do anything but smile.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to know about The Apprentice.
Yeah, I was just going to say, after you saying that, you know, you find practice in your everyday, or you have to, you have these things, you obviously couldn't do that in The Apprentice because you just alluded to that there.
Honestly, it was a crazy experience. I had this mad notion to apply.
Yeah, so how did you get involved?
From the start.
From the start, how did you get involved?
Why, Maura? Why? And I was like, I want an investment. So didn't get it. So basically, I have this big dream and I want to take yoga with Maura internationally.
Yes,
and
girl.
All over the world. The online studio now, I have a few little Irish people in like Australia and England. They're all Irish that are doing it and supporting me, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And to get out there and to market and do everything, you need cash.
Oh, you need money, baby.
You know, and you know what? Like, it's funny, it kind of goes against what yoga is about as well. So it's kind of, I have this battle a little bit. I'm like, I'm trying to spread joy and love, but also I want to try and make money. You know, that's the truth.
Honestly, like there is nothing wrong with wanting to make money. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, and there shouldn't be this like shame around wanting to make money. Mm. Like there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And I just want like a normal life. It's not that I'm trying to be like this superstar. Like I honestly just want to like buy a house in Dublin that I can't afford. I'm listening.
Babe, don't get me off. You're triggering me now.
You just some yin.
Yeah. So I was just like, right, got this idea, go for investment. And I was actually on a honeymoon in Costa Rica and I was just scrolling as you do, seen an ad for it, applied, went through the whole thing. You know when you just get into one of those moods, right?
Yeah.
Me and my lovely husband not even speaking to each other on the beach. You know, he's doing his thing. I'm doing my thing. Said nothing. This is at Christmas time.
Said nothing to your husband?
No, nothing.
No.
Nothing.
No.
And I just, I don't know why I didn't say anything. And then I had this weird feeling. I was like, I'm going to get it.
Really? Like,
and I get these mad notions.
Can I pause just for a second? So for people who don't know, Maura went on The Apprentice. It's a brilliant show if you don't know, but it's like you go in and you get investment. It used to be Donald Trump in America and it was Lord Sugar.
And Bill Cullen in Ireland.
And Bill Cullen, God love, he was one of the better ones. So yeah, you go in and you basically do all these business games.
You have to do 10 tasks of different types of businesses, throwing you in your absolute comfort zone, outside the comfort zone, not in the comfort zone, testing you in every way to get the investment.
Bill Alan Sugar.
Yeah.
So you got it then. You got the email to say you've...
No, so basically I was like to my husband one night in bed in January, oh yeah, by the way, I applied and I'm going to... He was like, are you going to be on Donald Trump's one? Because he didn't know about Lord Sugar. Yeah. And I was like, no. And then got the email. They're like, you've made it to the next level. I was like, great. Okay.
I knew it.
Well, then you had to go and fly back and forth to London secretly. So the first email to get is like, if you tell anyone and it gets out, you'll lose your spot. Da, da, da. So had to go back and forward for like 4 months and the interviews were mental.
How many rounds was this?
There was probably like maybe 7 or something. So the first day you get there and you have a time slot and it's like this building and it's like got about 7 floors and you go into the first round. The first round you're in a circle with like 30 people and they're like, what would you want from Lord Sugar? Da, da, da. And I was like, oh my God, like in front of people. And I was like, I've got a yoga business so I want to spread joy and love. And all these people are like saying these crazy things. And then they half the group and like, you're in there. And then they give you like this piece of paper or something and they're like, what would you do in this situation? Who would you save? Whatever. Anyway, there's all these mad
stuff.
But
that's like business hell week.
Oh, it's crazy. Well, not even, your hell week is probably worse. And then it was like, okay, you got to the next level. So all day you're doing this until you get to the top. And then they're like, asking about your business, asking about your numbers, all this mad stuff. And then they put you in front of a camera and they showed this clip on my Your Fire. And it was like, they asked me, they were like, if you're an animal in business, what would you be? And I was like, a giraffe, so I could see above everyone. And then what did they show? I said, I'd be a giraffe. So they didn't show me. So
you didn't show you the reason.
Oh my God, no. So funny. Anyway,
you did dirty there.
Yeah, went through it. Towards the end, they're like, you're going to get one of three calls. You're going to get it. You're going to be on reserve, or you're not going to get it. If you go on reserve, you still have to set up your whole business like you're leaving. So you've got to invest in a lot of time. And I actually didn't get it. And they were like, you're on reserve.
Okay.
So I was like, no, I'm not taking it. Like, I want a space. Like, I've got to invest in being away for potentially 10 weeks. Okay. I've got to get staff, everything. Like, it's not worth me doing all this. And then I can't just drop people. Mm. And then I said to my husband, I was like, I've turned it down. They said I was on reserve. And he's like, why did you do that? I was like, he's like, do you want it? I was like, yeah. He's like, do you want to go on reserve? I was like, yeah. I just thought that they might be like,
yeah, fight for me.
Fight for me. Yeah. But they didn't.
They're like, okay, bye. And you're like, only joking.
Oh my God. And then I rang them back. I was like, I've had to think about it. And yeah, I'll go on reserve. And then I emailed them like the next day. I was like, thanks for the opportunity on reserve. I know you're going to pick me. And they did.
Oh,
I did.
Wow.
So I only had a week to prepare. I couldn't tell a soul.
Can I ask you that the reserve, is it that somebody else drops out or something like that? Or what?
I think that they originally, the apprentice used to be for 16 people. And then the year before they had like 18 funding and they got last minute funding. So me and another guy both were on reserve.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. So funny. You know that there's like about 10 or 12 people or something on reserve, right? And we're put into quarantine in a hotel because apparently a lot of years people drop out on that last minute.
Yeah.
And then people come. So it's mad. I was like, imagine if I had packed all my stuff and I was in a hotel and then had to go home to Ireland the next day and no one would ever know.
That's rough.
Jeez. Yeah.
But that didn't
happen.
That didn't happen. So got on the show, absolute bananas, not what I expected.
How much was it real and what was scripted?
I'll be honest, none of it is scripted.
Okay.
Right? And people are kind of like, what? They don't tell you what to say. What you see is what you get.
Oh.
But it's edited.
Yeah. To fuck.
So it is. Do you know what? Like, I think that, like, it's so funny. I was watching, I don't know if you're watching Big Brother. Big Brother, yeah. Right? And that whole thing with Ekansu, right?
Yeah.
And she came out and she was like, the show did me dirty, da 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 da. And then I was thinking, because it was the time that the show was coming out for me, and I was like, you can't be like that. The edit did me dirty. Because if you say it, you said it.
Yeah.
You have to own it.
Yeah.
So I was just trying to be myself, and I was myself throughout the whole thing.
She also said it in real time. They're like, you haven't even seen the show edit yet.
Which was literally out for 25 seconds. Yeah.
So I learned that from Ekansu.
Yeah. No, but come here. There is, you can even tell in The Apprentice, you can see there is harsh edits. Like, there's times where people are looking, I'm like, you didn't react like that. You definitely reacted to something. Mm. You know, like the
100%.
Reactions, they're like making it more juicy. Like,
yeah. Like my face, I don't know if they liked my face in like funny, because I kept doing like, everyone is like texting me like, more of your reactions. But like literally I'd be like, like laughing. Oh, like I didn't realize I pulled so much face.
Yeah.
But so funny, I didn't really watch the show Girls. Like I wasn't a real Apprentice fan. And people are like, what? Like I honestly, after the 4 months of being like through the interviews, I was like, this is a real business show. This is for investment. Yes, it is for investment.
Yeah,
yes, it is a real business show, but it's entertainment.
Yeah.
So,
What was like behind the scenes? What was it like in the house? You know, when you're all coming back
to the
house.
Were they dopes or were they nice?
Do you know what? The house was great crap.
Was it?
Like, so boring.
I know. I wish I could give you dirt. I wish I could tell you people were sleeping with each other, everything, but there wasn't any of that.
Were you not saying of drinking wine to like sit?
No alcohol. No alcohol, right? The house had a beautiful pool, sauna, everything down the bottom.
What?
Okay. And we weren't allowed to use it for health and safety.
Oh, for God's sake.
Girls, I couldn't go to the toilet on my own. They would bring you to the toilet. Like, we were...
In the house?
Not in the house. So when we were out on task, we were only allowed to contact our family at the end of every task, one 10-minute call, and not tell them where we were.
What?
It's mad.
That's a bit much, isn't it?
A bit much, yeah.
Rip.
So people are reactive because you don't have your family to talk about stuff. You're in this mad zone.
Offload.
You can't, like...
Do you think that's the reasoning behind that element as well?
Yeah, like, I don't know. They want you to be fully in the zone.
Yeah.
And you're there in a mission to win it. You see your eye on the prize, and that's what everyone has.
Yeah. Did you find moments, especially not being able to do your practice, that there was like really high anxiety moments that you were like, I don't even know these fucking people?
Oh my God, I was bawling. Like, honestly, it's so funny. Like, I really missed my dog. Obviously, I miss my husband too.
Oh no, babe, I get it. My dog. But
like,
my life.
She's my coworker. We're together every minute of the day.
Yeah.
And like, just little simple things like that. Like, they were like to me, like, welfare, like, what do you need before you get in the house? And I was like, I just bring my yoga mat. That's all I need. 10 minutes in the morning. Every day, that's all I need. Give me 10. I'm not going to ask for 30. 10 minutes, meditate, breathe, do a couple of cacaos. I'm dreaming. You know?
Woo-woo.
I was like, woo. At 4 a.m., they're like, the 4 a.m. thing is real. It is real. We could start hearing the cameras coming in at 3:45. You're not allowed to move. You have to wait until the camera comes into the room. Every time you get up, they only show a few of them. So at like 3:45, we're all running in to brush our teeth so we could start the process and then get back into the bed. And I was like to them, oh, can you just wake me up at like 10 to or 20 to whatever so I can get on the mat before?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, it's an advantage. They thought it was an advantage.
Oh, but it kind of is, because you'd be namaste and everyone else would be pinging off.
So, yeah. I'm sorry, it is like a mental health week. It is.
It's like psychological.
It's like a psychological thing. But like, they're trying to, like, you can't have one up on anyone. Like, it's all...
Yeah, the equal playing ground.
It is kind of mad, though.
It is kind of mad, yeah.
And you should just went on Dragon's Den.
Yeah.
You know.
Sorry, please.
Go next year.
But Claire, how far did you get on the process, and what was Lord Sugar like, and that you're one that's always with her clipboard?
Karen. So Lord Sugar is exactly what you see, Alan Sugar. Like, he didn't say much to us. There's no messing with him. Like, he's scary. Like, what you see is what you get. But we didn't get much time with him.
Yeah.
So they don't want you to have much time with him. Otherwise, it would be like an advantage of who he'd like more.
Oh, I understand. Ah, wow.
So BBC really are strict on like fair game, that kind of thing.
That's good.
So all we seen was him in the boardrooms, and then he was getting reports back from Karen and Tim.
Did you warm to Karen and Tim more than...
Tim, I loved. Loved Tim.
Oh yeah, Karen. No, sorry, Karen. Sorry. We don't warm with everyone, do you know what I mean?
Like, Tim was amazing. So Tim was like the first ever winner of The Apprentice back in the day, like 20 years ago. And he got it. He was just nice and lovely.
Yeah. Can I ask you, right, what was like your peak and what was your pit throughout the whole Apprentice?
Peak was, I was project manager for episode 7. He told me to be project manager because he wanted to see what I was about and what I could get. And I won as project manager.
Oh my God.
And they edited it. Now they gave me a little Avila Lekansu. They did me dirty on the edit because it was leading like a wine tour, right? And we have no Google, no phone. Yeah. I love my wine, but literally I hadn't drank wine in 7 weeks, so I'd forgotten all the wine.
Yeah.
Okay, what they do, but I just know I like the taste of it. Yeah. So I was leading the wine tour, couldn't remember anything about the wine. So I was like, right, go and do a bit of yoga with them. Did a bit of yoga, did a bit of stretching. They showed like the most awkward moment of me being like, guys, breathe in, take a breath, and everyone looking at me, or they might have been looking at something else.
Yeah, yeah.
But they actually loved it. And they didn't give one refund, and we won.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's like really
did
authentic.
Did you serve wine after or before? I didn't.
After the wine was there. Yeah, yeah. And then everyone was like, why didn't you give them more wine on the wine tour? We were like, we wanted to give them more wine, but we didn't have it and stuff like that. So,
yeah. Wow.
Yeah. The pit. Probably episode 4. I know I don't know if you've watched it. Have you, Niamh?
Yeah, bits of it.
Bits of it. Episode 4.
I'm living with my in-laws at the moment. There's just one TV.
Share. Episode 4, there was a little bit of drama in the boardroom. Someone was lying and told some lies about me. And it really rattled me.
Yeah.
Okay. I still, like, Lord Sugar believed me and the truth came out and stuff. But I just figured at that time, someone that was like, I thought was my friend. But like, this is so ridiculous because I was just like thinking, this person's my friend. We're going to be besties forever. Da, da, da. And they were in there for their own self, which you should have been.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So
It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard.
So what was it like back at the house? And
I won't even go there. I mean, they're all lovely people. Everyone was lovely.
Like, that must have been really hard. Like, I'd be very like you in that sense that like, I think everyone's my friend and sometimes in the same breath.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone's gonna like me. And if I was in that position now, that would have floored me. I would have been like, oh, I can't believe someone would have done that.
Oh, it actually did floor me, but I had to pretend that it didn't, which was really hard. Like, we had welfare that we could talk to about it and stuff, which was grand, but like, you're kind of like also conscious.
You're a bit wounded, aren't
you? Yeah, and you're, like, do you know what? It is what it is.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
It's a game.
Yeah.
Game
yeah.
show, essentially. Is
That's
it, really?
It. And like, I suppose for me, it wasn't even that I was that upset. It was at that moment I realized, oh my God, this is a TV show, which sounds so dumb and sounds so blonde. But I was so in the zone. This is for investment. This is business. Yeah. This is fair game.
Yeah.
But maybe it's not. But you know what? Overall, I do it again.
Would
do
you?
It again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do it again.
So what was the aftermath like for you then when you left it? Like, did you find you had to nearly like adjust back to normal?
Oh my God, it was so funny. Like I literally, when I left, I was flying out to my husband in New Zealand and I had been in a few airports and you'd kind of have to ask people.
Is this when you were going to the wedding, your friend's wedding only recently?
No, it actually filmed last year. This was the end of June. June, it actually filmed. Yeah. So we were flying out and then I was like, can I go to, like, I was in airports. I wasn't allowed to go to the toilet on my own. Okay. I was like, oh my God. And then they would always carry your bag.
Sorry, what?
That
what
sounds
that
so
amazing?
Bad.
Take my bag.
I know. And, you had no phone. So I just kept leaving my phone places.
But why wouldn't they let you go to the toilet on your own?
Because
you run off.
So you've no phone, you've no money. You've nothing.
Okay.
Like, it's called contraband.
Really, like, you can't even Google anything.
No, so it's all making sure that you're not going to, like, cheat or, like, talk to anyone from the outside. Okay. Like, you're on there. Like, Ireland is grand. No one would even know what you're part of. But, like, there's people in the UK that are, like, hunting down The Apprentice being filmed. Like, we won, like, a cheesecake task. And we went to this place as, like, a prize where they gave us all lovely cheesecakes. It was gorgeous. And they filmed our prize. And it was the cutest little thing. I think it was the first time we had a little bit of champagne or whatever. We were all thrilled. All the girls won. Girl team. We were delighted. Mm. And next month, they're like, girls, you have to come out the back through the kitchen. We were like, why? They're like, there's paps at the front.
Oh, it's a scream.
And we were like, ah, this is so funny. But they were like, hardcore. People because they were trying to spot who's on The Apprentice for 24.
Wow.
Mad.
That's unreal.
I know.
That's such a like weird thing to go through, I'd say.
Yeah, but you know what? I would weirdly do it again. Yeah.
That's
yeah,
amazing.
It's great. And I made amazing friends from it. Like I've got a good few friends that I would probably be friends with for forever.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it helped your business? Like did you get much out of it even for you in terms of strategy or
to be honest like I didn't realize how much it would help my business and it really has like it's definitely like spread the little yoga studio it's like I've learned a lot like I learned even though I loved what I did before I actually love what I do even more you know and just the simple things and like I love Ireland
for the best
and career I actually you spoke about festivals there and I know so I'm getting married this year.
Ooh.
I have three. I always had like three ideas of like how I'd like to get married. And one of your, was the wedding. So
oh my God,
messy.
Fill me
she
in.
She had teepees. Talk us through your wedding.
I also am a festival enthusiast.
Yeah. So me and my lovely husband fell in love at a festival. Well, no, I don't know if we fell in love at a festival. No, we didn't fall in love at a festival. We actually both deleted Tinder at a festival. So that was like, you know, we were
taking
dating, but then it was like, let's delete the app.
Because we're going to be together.
So we love festivals, the two of us. And like we were going to get married abroad. We were going to get married in Ireland. He's from New Zealand. We were like, will we meet somewhere halfway with his family? And then like we decided like we both love festivals. We wanted it to be relaxed. I've been to so many weddings, like anyone. And I just wanted something a bit different. Mm-hmm. So I also was like, oh my God, maybe this would be a little bit cheaper. I was wrong. Yeah, it wasn't cheaper. So ended up getting these big, beautiful teepees.
It looked phenomenal.
It was gorgeous.
Where did you do it?
A home in Wexford.
Wow.
Yeah, on a field next to my mum and dad's.
Okay, amazing.
Everything. So it was long tables. I like wore like a real like kind of boho dress. Loads of fresh flowers. Like I love flowers. So I had this beautiful lady from Tower Hill Flowers. She's just amazing. She did the most incredible. Like we all wore flower crowns. I look at the photos. I'm like, oh my God, maybe there was too much flowers.
No, it was perfect.
That's what you
boho dream. Yeah, and it was a dream. And like we just wanted to be real relaxed. Like we had a bar that people got a drink and then they sat on the bales and had their wine while we were doing our ceremony. And it was like all outside. We had like, I had a little thing where I had like, I have five brothers and Campbell has like four in his family. And we had like this thing. It was like, instead of the prayers of the faithful, it was the messages from the siblings. And it was like, like real lovely. And everyone around me, like all my friends, most of my family, my mom was like, Maura, what are we going to do if it rains? Because I was like, it was the hay bales. It was a vision. I had like this flower triangle where we're getting married under everything. I was like, and I was like, don't say that to me again. Like everyone was like, stop. I was like, I can feel the sun on my back. I can feel the sun on my back. And it was the 17th of September. And it was like, my hen was like 2 weeks before I chose my hen on EP weekend. So it was pissing rain, right? Yeah. And then everyone was like, what are you going to do? My brother was like, the field's flooding. I was like, feck off. I was like, I can feel the sun on my back. Yeah. And lo and behold, I had the sunniest day in September and I could feel the sun on my back.
I remember the photos and the videos going up and I was like, this is the dream.
Oh, it was honestly, girls, I know you both have your days coming.
Yeah.
I was like, I had a bit of wedding ick.
Did you?
Like, this is weird, right? No, like, wedding ick. The year before, we got engaged in 2019. COVID happened. We wanted to have a big party. We wanted to have the crack. So we waited till after COVID, September 22. And then it was so much waiting and so much dramas with people's wedding with the thing.
Yeah.
And I just got a bit icky.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I just feel like it's pressure. There's like, oh, you should be doing this. You should be doing that. Yeah. You should be like, it's, and I was getting so wrapped up in it. And I really had this kind of ick about it. It's so weird. And then 3 months before I was like, it's not going to be the best day of my life. Like, it's not. Every day is a good day. You know, don't put the pressure on. Like, just want to have a good day. And you know what? It was the best day.
Yeah. But I think that's really common. Like, my cousin just got married there a couple of weeks ago. And she was like, I'm honestly an anti-bride. She's like, I did not come into this world to be a bride. She's like, it's not going to be the best day of my life. She's like, so I want to do what's authentic to me, which sounds exactly what you did, which is really what it's about.
Like, I got my dress in a charity shop.
Yeah,
love. Like, I was
Your dress was stunning.
Yeah, and I literally was like, I'm not spending, like, couple of grand on a dress. Like I literally, even though I was like, I'll do this, do that, we spent so much on our wedding. But you know what? It was a great day.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And yeah, I was going to say I'd do it again, but no, I can't.
Too expensive.
Yeah.
But talk me through, because me and Ness were actually talking about this before, and I know you've spoken about it at all, like just the pressure of like coming into your 30s and getting married and buying a house. How are you feeling now? Because I know you've spoken about this, the pressure.
The pressure. The minute you get married, girls, everyone is like, where's the baby? Are you going to get pregnant?
It's a huge thing, I think. Or is it like a universal thing?
Well,
I think
definitely it's just, in Ireland.
You know what? And that was kind of, I was like to me, oh my God, and all my lovely friends have kids and I love babies. I love being an auntie and I want to be a mom one day. And I just feel like there's so much pressure. And whoever you are, listen, stop asking people when they're going to have a family. Seriously, and you don't know what people are going through.
See, like,
reach.
How many times do people need to, like, hammer that home? How is it still being asked?
So I have a nice little sentence for people now when they say it to me. They're like, I love making people, if they make me feel awkward, I'm going to make them feel awkward back. So like, they're like, Maura, so when are you going to have a baby? I'm like, my eggs are in the freezer. And then they're like, okay. And I'm like, yep, they're frozen in the freezer.
I love that.
I'll see.
Yeah.
And are they frozen in the freezer?
Yeah, yeah, it's not a thing I just say,
No, they actually
So froze the eggs last year. Yeah.
Can you talk us through that whole journey? Because I know it's a bit of a tough one, isn't it?
Do you know what? It's so funny. Everyone was like to me, I decided to, this is what I do. It's so funny. I didn't tell like my close friends, just a couple of people I was doing it, told my husband. I don't even know if I told my family. And then I come on my Instagram. Hey guys, I'm freezing my eggs, and showed the injection. And my phone's hopping. They're like, Maura, what are you doing? I was like, wasn't going to say anything, but now I'm telling everybody.
Here we go.
Yeah.
So you know what? And then I put it up my Instagram. So many girls messaged me. They were like, this is, tell us about it. And everyone that had done it was like, it's going to be shit. This is terrible.
Okay.
It's so hard. And I know people, and I have to be really sensitive here because I have people really close to me that have been going through IVF.
Yeah, of course.
But for me, I didn't have that pressure attached to it. I was like, I am 33. By the time you're 35, you're a geriatric mother, which is ridiculous, that name. Yeah. And, you know, it's not saying this happens to everyone, but your egg count reduces. Okay, it reduces every year for all of us. So I was like, right, I'm going to go in, throw them in the freezer, see what happens. And to be honest, I actually had a good experience. Like, it's only like 21 days. I mean, everyone was telling me I was going to feel crap, but I was like, I'm just going to do loads of yin. I'm not going to listen. I'm just going to tune into my body. My body's doing this mad thing at the moment. And the way I can kind of describe it is you have to do your injections every day.
Okay.
My husband's a type 1 diabetic, so he was injected me.
Yeah, he's
You know, so it was grand. And like I was just like, how privileged am I that I am able to go and pay to get my eggs in the freezer? I have this choice.
Yeah.
And we're in a country like Ireland, like some places in the world, this is so, so white privilege. Really, it is.
Yeah.
So to moan about feeling a bit crap because you're doing this.
Yeah, I know.
You know, that being
like
said,
you get to do it rather than you have to do it, sort of a thing.
That's it. I feel privileged that I was able to do it, able to afford it. But I think that if I was doing it to create a life and a baby and I was trying for a baby, it's totally different. And the emotions are real and the pressure.
So much riding on it.
Yeah, so much riding on it. So I didn't have that pressure. Now, everyone was asking me, like, oh, how did you? And I haven't told anyone how much eggs I got because I just didn't want to. Because we have this comparison and people are like, I got one. It's like, well, you have one good one.
Yeah.
Some people might got 30. And then you're like, oh, my God, am I? So it just kind of goes with that.
Everything's different.
I would, if you're in thinking about it, just go do it.
Yeah. I kind of like think about it.
Do you?
Yeah, because I'm 33 now. And again, it's just that pressure of, obviously, I want to start a family, but I'm like, I don't know if I want to do it right now. And then you kind of feel, you're like, oh shit, my body clock or whatever. So it's kind of alleviating that.
It is. And it is scary. And like, it's so crap that women, that we have this really short window that like, this is the time that we're going to, you know, have to do it. And I just feel like if you can, like, and it's, Ireland's actually one of the places that's not as expensive as it is in other countries. Like the place that I went, I think it was maybe 3,500 euro or something, and then you pay €18 a month to the freezer. That's like a nice bottle of wine.
Definitely.
You know, and I just feel like if you're thinking about it, like, you know, go for consultation. Go for consultation. Any of my friends now that are single and they're like, oh, I'm just, freeze your eggs.
No, but
freeze your eggs.
True.
Take the pressure away.
I think, because we spoke about this a lot on our podcast, like, it's not the era it once was. Like, buying a house is so much harder, all that sort of stuff. Everything is later in life now, you know?
Yeah.
And like, for me, I always felt like I wanted to like enjoy the milestones of getting engaged and getting married and getting a house rather than feeling I have to ram everything together. But then it's like that societal pressure put on you a bit.
Do you feel like it's taken the pressure off you now?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that being said, they're there as my insurance policy. But like, I'm like, right now I'm in like my business era, my yoga era. That being said, like, and my best friends have babies. I hold them like, oh my God, I want one. Like, it's so funny. So I actually did feel like I'm preaching all this, freeze your eggs, do this. But then what if like next year I have get pregnant? Then you're like, you know, it's,
that's your choice.
Change your mind.
Totally.
Change your mind.
Change your mind in an hour. I change my mind on the hour, on the podcast all the time.
Yeah, you probably heard me over this time change my mind a few times.
And come here, what were people's reaction when you said you were doing it? Because I know if I got, like, I love my parents so much and I love Jamie's parents so much. But if I told them now that I was freezing my eggs, I know they'd look at me being like, why?
You know,
really?
You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They'd be like, sure, just have a baby. And I'd be
know.
Like, no.
And that's people.
It's such an Irish thing, though.
Yeah. Like, my mom and dad are always so supportive and stuff. And like, like, my mom did say to me, oh, it'd be easier if you did just have a baby, you know? And like, I'm like, yeah, but like, then this X, Y, Z stops, you know? And maybe it doesn't have to stop. I don't know. I just feel like, because my job is so physical as well. You know, I work for myself, I want maternity leave, all that kind of stuff. But there is a bit of a judgment. But you know what? Like, it's like taking your power, you know what I mean? And even like when I went in for the first consultation, the guy was like, or the nurse, the guy was really good, the doctor, but the nurse was like to me, are you single? Are you married? And I was like, oh yeah, I'm married, just married. And then she's like, okay, then you should think of creating embryos. And I was like, explain that to me. And then she was like, yeah. So then if you create embryos, you know, his sperm, your egg, you have them and it's like a better chance than freezing your eggs. And I was like, well, I don't want to do that. And she's like, no, you really should do that, right? And I went home a bit like no. And then, and like, I love my husband and I hope I'll be with him forever. But straight away, I've taken the power away. Because then that's our child instead of it being my eggs.
Yeah.
So a few people messaged me like, why don't you create embryos? It's more thing. And I was like, well, what if something happened to my husband? Or I'm not planning his murder. Or like, no, something, God forbid, something did happen.
Yeah,
and then, so it's so funny. And then the next day I went in and then she was like, have you decided? And I was like, I'm freezing my eggs. And then I was like, in my head, I was like, I bet you if I came in here single, you would not say that to me.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and you're kind of this, and it costs way more money. All that kind of stuff as a sales pitch. And then I went into the doctor and I was like, the girl was telling me the embryos are so much better. And he was like, okay, no, stop now. So, you know, it was just so funny that I was nearly getting, and then I was almost like to my husband, I was like, do you think we should make embryos? What do you think? And he was like, this is for you. You decide what you want to do.
Yeah. Well, that's nice. That's a supportive hubby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
There we go. Oversharing.
Oh my God, you've done so much in like the past year, really.
Yeah, it's been mad. Yeah. Yeah.
And you're still going.
Yeah.
And tell us before, because we have a lovely question that Denise Kenny Byrne left for you. But before we get you to answer that, where can people find you?
Yoga with Maura.
Yoga with Maura on Instagram and on the online studio.
Yeah, yeah. Very and simple, very original name.
Yeah, well, like, you don't want to overcomplicate things.
Yeah.
So funny, when I went choosing my name, I was like, hey, what Lego? And I was like, oh, I'll just go for Yoga with Maura now at the moment. And now it's just stayed.
It's perfect, though.
It's literally Yoga with Maura. It's perfect.
Yeah.
So we do this thing on the podcast every time we have a guest on, we make them leave a question for the next guest. So Denise Kennyburn left. If you could go back to your 25-year-old self, what advice would you give them knowing what's coming ahead?
Oh, okay. Dump the boyfriend.
Totally agree. Apart from Ness, she's been in a great relationship for years.
No, I like him.
Good for you, Ness. I know. I was with a guy. Like, it wasn't even a bad relationship. I knew it was never going to be forever, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, dump the boyfriend. But then it's so funny. I'm such a believer everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Because if I had dumped him, I might have left New Zealand sooner. I might not have met my husband. Isn't it weird?
Like sliding doors.
Yeah. And the other thing I'd probably say is, I used to have this, like, when I was away, like, when you live abroad, sometimes you get this real guilt. And I had this guilt of, like, missing my family, missing my friends, missing my nieces and nephews. And, like, it was just this horrible feeling, even though they're all happy for me. And I think guilt is one of the most wasted emotions.
Yeah.
And I try not to feel guilty now. You know, my family were happy for me. I mean, my mom would say things like, if you don't come home, that's it, you know, like Irish mammy wanted me home, and then when I was bringing home Bambi, she was like, how can you take him from his mother?
Maybe that's where the guilt came from.
So funny. But that would be it.
That's guilt and dump the boyfriend.
And you have to leave a question now for the next guest, whoever it may be.
God, it probably won't be good enough for someone that's
It could be anything. It doesn't have to be profound.
Like, what your favourite colour is.
Like, James Cavanaugh's like, where was the last place you had sex?
Okay, this is one. Do you believe everything happens for a reason? And if you do or you don't, explain your answer.
Love that.
Yes. Very, very good. Love.
Wow.
I feel like I've just talked way too much.
No, you haven't.
Oh my God, you've been amazing. Honestly, you've been
amazing. An absolute glorious yogi zen treasure. Thank you so much. It's been so nice talking to you. Thank you for being so raw and honest about your journey as well.
And wise.
And so wise.
So wise.
So wise. Well, thank you so much.
Love and light, girls. Thank you so
love
much.
Love and light. Bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Unveiled with Niamh Cullen and Nessa Morrissey, a Go Loud original podcast. Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.